I've been paying close attention to graffiti lately. I ran across some really interesting samples of it in Egypt some months ago. Some markings left on a rock in the middle of the Sinai Desert. People wandering through that wilderness would stop at this rock and leave their mark. Some of them were pilgrims traveling through on their way to Mount Sinai or Jerusalem. Others were on their way to Mecca. You can imagine that these groups didn't always get along, but they had to share the same wilderness road. And what's left of their messages now is just a jumble of symbols, some in languages long forgotten, scrawled in Greek, Latin, and Armenian, in Syrian, Georgian, and Nabataean. But that the fact that they are there, hundreds, even thousands of years later, is a testament to the pilgrims' existence in that part of the world. I've been noticing graffiti elsewhere too. Just the other day, I looked around the restroom at one of my favorite pubs. I found plenty of graffiti there as well. The markings on those walls, however, are nowhere near as interesting or profound as the ones in Egypt. One did catch my eye, though, as I washed my hands. Small heart etched on the wall, and a message within that heart. "You are tolerated," it read. "You are tolerated. Not loved or liked, but not hated either, you know. Simply tolerated. You, my friends, are tolerated." Talk about a low bar, am I right? It seems as though people like to leave their mark, no matter how trivial the message might be. I've been thinking about it, though. I've been thinking about what it means to tolerate people. After all, in the divided world that we live in nowadays, toleration might be the best we can do. To tolerate somebody, to simply let them be, might be a big step forward for our Facebook friends, for our politicians, for each of us and for the people that we come into contact with. Toleration may be the best we can hope for at work, at school, or around the Thanksgiving dinner table. It may be one of our best strategies for doing little to no harm. In the modified words of the psalmist, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in toleration. Let us all come together and tolerate one another." Now, Jesus, of course, had something else in mind. Today, we meet him in the middle of the Gospel of Luke, hanging out with the wrong kind of people while continuing his running argument with the right kind, the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of the law. Jesus will sometimes debate them outright, but often we simply get stories, a few parables to illustrate his point about the type of people he spends time with and why. In the first instance, he tells the story of a shepherd, a seemingly wealthy one too, with 100 sheep to his name. He loses one and leaves the other 99 in search of the one that was lost. In the second story, a woman has lost a silver coin, equivalent to about a day's wages for a laborer in that time, but not all that valuable in the grand scheme of things. And yet she turns her whole house upside down searching for it. In both stories, we are meant to assume that God is the main actor. God is the shepherd who leaves everything behind to look for that one lost sheep. God is the woman sweeping every nook and cranny of her house, searching for that lost silver coin. In both of these stories, the sheep and the coin do absolutely nothing to earn God's favor. The shepherd, you see, loves the sheep that was lost simply because that is what a good shepherd does, not by virtue of anything the sheep has done for him. The woman knows that the coin is valuable to her. She won't rest until it is found. What we see here is a God who risks everything for a thing that can give very little in return. What we see here is a God who will go the extra mile, even if the desired goal might seem hardly worth the effort. Friends, it is 2019, and I'm tired of placing my bets on tolerance. I'm tired of waiting on politicians to play fair with their rules and their maps. I'm tired of waiting on the powerful to side with regular people instead of their wallets. Tired of waiting on people to make up their mind about the dignity, the humanity of this or that person. God, you see, doesn't have time for tolerance. That would be a pitifully low bar for God. God is in the habit of loving, not tolerating, loving deeply, passionately, and with abandon, throwing caution to the wind for the sake of a dumb, lost sheep, throwing caution to the wind for the sake of a pitiful silver coin. To do so, to love as God loves, requires courage. To love as God loves invites risk. And yet that is exactly what Jesus is trying to get at here, because that is exactly how God loves you. And God is inviting you to go and do likewise. Next week, Bishop Rodman will join us for our yearly confirmation services. And over the past few months, George and I have met with our soon-to-be confirmants, young and old alike. And I'd like to remind people that the confirmation service, the laying on of hands by the bishop, is really nothing more and nothing less than a reaffirmation of the vows made at baptism, a baptism we'll celebrate today. You don't get an extra helping of the Holy Spirit when you are confirmed a member of the Episcopal Church. That's not how it works. Your belonging to the body of Christ has been guaranteed at the moment of baptism, an event that many of us don't even remember. And there's a strange kind of beauty to that, a radical acceptance that's present even in the moments when we least feel accepted. An affirmation of your goodness in spite of the mistakes that you've made or the ones that you'll do again. It's a gift, my friends. It's always been a gift. And it would be a waste to treat others as something less than that, to deny the gift we've each been given as pitiful, missing pocket change or lost and wandering sheep. In the words of Cornel West, my friends, we're not called to be colorblind to one another. We're called to be love-struck. In a world full of bigotry and hate, let us sow the seeds of love. In a world of fractured allegiances, let us bind our hearts together with the poor and the vulnerable. In a world that settles for tolerance, let us pursue the path of love that leads to lasting justice and peace. May we have the courage to do so and more in the power of the Spirit. Amen.